time to start buying
it. How are we going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, well, well. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As we gather on this Wednesday, May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, this past Monday, we celebrated the Polish Constitution Day, and we mark the 230th anniversary of the world's second oldest democratic constitution, the first in Europe. And it was a very nice celebration. Today we're going to be enjoying Cinco de Mayo, which was the honoring the battle against the French by the Mexicans. And then, of course, on Sunday we're celebrating Mother's Day. So there's a lot of things that have been happening, a lot of things that will be happening. And, of course, as you're out shopping for those beautiful greeting cards, make sure you look on the back of the card and see what you can do to support American businesses and, of course, American workers. We certainly have a lot to discuss today. As always, I ask that you contact family members and friends and invite them to tune into the broadcast. And I must say that I'm very, very pleased to see a number of our radio broadcasters throughout this whole East Coast area, mainly, that are promoting our program, promoting our efforts, promoting the Buy American Made campaign, promoting our weekly commentaries, which are also listed up there on the front page of American Workers Radio. And also, I want to bring attention to another wonderful gentleman who I send people to on a regular basis, and that's Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. And our other panel members are always very distinguished and enjoyed. They are Larkin Connolly, who is our small business advocate, and Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Wow, it's been an unbelievable week since last Wednesday. As you know, we had a lot of things going on, and a lot of people have been contacting me about school board issues that I have to keep promoting that. And in some places, they had pre-elections, and they luckily were able to get out some of the people on the school boards that were very liberal, that were not interested in presenting ideas to get the children graduating with certificates and diplomas that give them some kind of a acknowledgement that they went through skill training, through technology training, through trade training. It seems that the hierarchy in many of the school districts wanted to be just like a specialized club without taking into consideration that America needs workers. Yesterday, I sent out a special email that came to me from Ed Masternak, who is a listener and supporter. And I was very glad that he said to me, this is an article I think you should share with all of the people on American Workers Radio, and I hope that we'll be able to take a few minutes to discuss that today, because Mark Andel is always talking about it. It's America's factories are desperate for workers. Can you believe this? In this day and age, when we have so many millions of people not on unemployment, but totally out of work, that our factories are pleading for workers. Now, many of the things that we discussed and we view as very reasonable over the years are now being found to be unreasonable. That's also something that's changed in the last, say, 15 years with communications and Facebooks and Twitters and everything else. And now we see that we have to do something to save ourselves as Americans. We seem to be paralyzed by negative politics, and no one wants to take charge anymore, because that takes a lot of work. But we have to do it to get our nation back to where it should be. We lost 30 years just look at yourself and say, how were things 30 years ago? How were things 20 years ago? What can we make better for our children and grandchildren as we celebrate Mother's Day this week? You know, every time a child is born, a mother and dad wants the best for their child. And of course, I'll tell you right now, every mom looks at that little baby and says, I hope this is going to be a great, successful person. Well, it seems that that is what is their future. But of course, our schools and our education programs have to reflect that as well. And that's been lacking in the last few years. And it's not only America's leaders that are at fault. It's everybody not speaking up. Parents have to speak up. People in the communities have to speak up at meetings, you know, at social events where they're having some fundraisers or whatever. Let's put some focus on getting some programs into the schools that are going to help people have a future in their life. Hear about education on this broadcast. You don't hear about it on other broadcasts. Restoring jobs and job skills is one of our focal points. Is that something that you hear on a regular basis on other programs? No. In fact, this article that came out, America's Factories Are Desperate for Workers, they criticized it in the national news, said, oh, well, that's why so many people in the world are having jobs and our people don't want to work. They made 10 excuses why the American people don't want to work. They don't want to go work at the shore. They don't want to work the rides. They don't want to work the restaurants. You know, they just want to go and have a good time on the beach and all. This is what the media has been training our people to think. That's not a reality because everybody has to support themselves. First today, I'm going to ask Larkin Conley, maybe he has some thoughts on what took place last Wednesday evening. He's been telling us for 100 days that he was going to be silent. And I'm going to turn to Larkin first. Larkin, how you doing, number one? And what did you think of our president's speech last Wednesday evening?
Well, Michael, good morning to you and good morning to my fellow commentators, and to Henry, who does such a great job of making us sound good. I appreciate our audience. And yes, I did. While I said I wasn't going to, and I told my wife as she got up to leave the room and go to bed, I got up and said, well, I'm going to do the same thing. But I stood behind the chair and watched and then sat down and watched the whole speech. And I'm very confounded. Not everything he has done I disagree with. I think I need to make that perfectly clear.
And I agree with you 100%.
I'm for pulling out of Pakistan. I think it's not a bad idea. We've been over there for 20 years. We've lost thousands of soldiers, and it's not our war. And I've never, in the history of my life, been for nation building, and that's exactly what we're doing over there. So it's time to come home. I completely disagree with the position he has in Iran. Domestically, I don't even know where to start. I do know that he is trying to placate his party from the middle left all the way down to the far left. He's just complete and total disregard for some of the things that he's causing. We cannot operate this country and function as the world's leading economy with $30 trillion worth of debt. Mm-hmm. We can't do it. It literally takes a payment that would choke a horse just to pay the interest payments every month. So what grade do I give Biden? I guess he gives the appearance that he's trying to mend the fences between the two parties, but he hasn't stuck a hand out yet. And so we'll see. I just think he does things without any complete, without any understanding whatsoever to the consequences. And I will tell you this, yesterday, in the last 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks, I've driven up 95 from Jacksonville to New York City and back again. This past week, I drove up to Western Virginia, Winchester, to visit my other son and drove back. Yesterday afternoon, we stopped on the east side of Rocky Hill, Rocky Mount. I don't know, I wish I could be more specific, but I was so interested by the intersection itself. And we pulled into, we said, let's get some chicken. So we pulled into KFC. Well, sorry, the lobby's not open. I'm not eating in my car. So I said, you're not open. Well, that makes no sense. And the girl who was obviously the manager, she was in a different cup. She said, there's not a restaurant on this interchange that has indoor services. Mm. Period. Amen. And I said, why? And she said, none of us have any employees. And I said, well, I don't get it. She said, no, you know, we don't have any employees. They will not come back to work. And as a lifelong politician and a guy who has never, you know, won any medals for being intelligent, he's doing stuff that makes no sense. I'm going to rebuild the strength of the middle class family.
You know, Larkin, I want to ask you a question. A very well established group of teachers spoke to me last Friday, in fact, and they said to me, from what they see, it looks like America's trying to rebuild and circulate dollars within its own economy to make things better, but sooner or later that bubble's going to blow up.
Well, that kind of, and I put quote marks up, that kind of trickle-down economy doesn't work.
Yep.
It just doesn't work. I got caught with my trousers down arguing with my son about trickle-down economy, and he kind of nailed me because I wasn't as familiar as I should have been with trickle-down economy. I came back and read a 45-page report on trickle-down economy and whether it works or not, and I still contend that some elements of trickle-down economy work. But when you're taking your own tax dollars to give it to somebody and hope that they'll spend that money so that there'll be a generation of sales tax that will be collected by, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
No.
And I can tell you, in the devastated areas, in the economically devastated areas that I serve as a guardian, I'm going to tell you that a significant, unbelievable, annoying percent of the money is going to buy dope. Period. Amen. It's going to buy dope. That's their world right now. And the world is, we have no job, we have nothing to go to, la la la. Let's just stay home and make babies and snort cocaine and do whatever else it is that they're doing. I hate to put that on everybody's shoulders, but it's an overwhelming percentage of the economically devastated areas that are facing those problems. That and you can tell by the crime is being up. It's a vicious circle, and to this point, Biden has not addressed a single answer. He's come up with, you know, temporary band-aids, but he hasn't solved one problem yet. Not one.
You know, Larkin, the president spoke about a lot of ideas. I didn't hear any real solutions on what the cost of implementing. It was very vague. We're going to do this and that. There's only a certain amount of rich people in the country. I feel all efforts should be directed to get people, businesses back, businesses operating with their full potential, get people in a job, in a trade. Now, a lot of the issues that are being brought up in the industries here in the United States is they want to stay. A lot of them do not want to leave this country, but they just don't have people with the discipline that they would have gotten in junior high and senior high working at some trade, having a day or two a week. They don't have the skills. They don't have the patience. And this is what people are saying. It's not worth it for us to reinvent the wheel when someone is selling us an idea to take this product and make the product for much less than it would cost us in the USA. And when you add up all the taxes that we have to pay for unemployment, for FUTA, for everything else, it makes it a sweetheart deal to move out of the United States of America. And every time a company moves, we have more people that are out of jobs, more people moving into poverty. The thing is endless. My question to everyone, wherever I share my ideas, is how much of your own money could you raise for your ideas? If I asked that of President Biden or President Trump or President anybody, how many political people would give money to the ideas that you proposed during your speech or speeches of 10 years ago? How many private people would give money to make that possible as opposed to doing it through America's tax dollars? That's a selling point that has to be thought about. If you can't sell it to your political supporters, foundations and others, then why are we being taxed to make it a reality? I also had a little bit of a discussion with someone who was saying, well, we need the infrastructure thing to happen as soon as possible. Mark is going to love this. And I said, well, if they're going to put $2 trillion on infrastructure, I think the entire $2 trillion should be circulated only in the United States. Every ounce of steel, concrete, everything comes from America.
So, you know, Mark will love that, but I've also got one for Mark, and I'm hoping he can help me with this. I really hope he can. My brother said something to me not too terribly long ago about how impossible it is to buy the most popular model of vehicle in this country. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, I defy you to go find a Ford F-150. Go find one. And I thought, well, I got to go find out what the hell the problem is. So I started to dig, and I got this story about all these people who rode to the Kentucky Derby, and as they were driving down 77, 75, whatever road it was, they went by these huge fields outside of assembly plants in Kentucky that had somewhere between 50 and 60,000 F-150s that are completely built and ready to go. They don't have the computer circuitry that the auto companies have been buying from China. They don't have it. It's not in the trucks. They can't get them. They are way, way, way behind. China is. And if you don't think in the back of your mind that China's sitting over there wringing their hands going,
that's right,
we have now brought their most popular vehicle to a complete halt. If you don't think that, then you're naive. You're so naive. You probably, so Yeah, Mark, if you're looking for a F-150, I imagine there are a couple of 250s and 350s in that crowd, but they say there were trucks as far as you could see.
Yep, I've heard that, Mark, and you will understand that because you're having so much trouble getting vehicles and all. And a lot of now, how can we be building certain products in Mexico and assembling them here in the United States without having ability to make those computers and all here in the United States? How did it get to the point that 80, 90?
There's nobody in the United States that can do this.
But why?
And why? Because Ford and GM and Chrysler all went to China and saved $4 a board or whatever it was. I have absolutely no idea. But the fact of the matter is how we didn't see this coming is the question, not where, how did it happen? We all know how it happened. But the fact that somebody at Ford didn't say, we're paddling the boat down the wrong stream here. We got a problem. And they're going to be big problems pretty soon.
And that's why I agree with you 1,000%, Orkin. This is not
Somebody said that it would take 2 years to build a factory capable of doing the work that China's doing.
Well, even computer repairs, people take their computer into a place to be repaired. The guys look and say, I wish I could help you, but, we didn't get any shipments in the last 10 days. So that means you're out of your circuit or whatever is needed in your computer for 10 days to 2 weeks till the stuff comes in. So, but, Larkin, this is not a political thing only. It's a leadership in the business community. And it's also a leadership in our unions and any kind of working groups. They should have talked about this for years and years.
Again, we're beating a dead horse.
I know. But as the president was speaking, I said to myself, I told you last week that I did make contact. They contacted us many times prior to the election. I had a contact and I said, I'd like the president to talk about restoring. He's talking about schools and everything else. Are we going to hear about restoring trades and technology classes in our high schools? This is would get him immediately a lot of people loving what he had to say. But it wasn't done. It was just, very...
He is a short-sighted politician. He sees nothing but immediate relief. He will not pay the price to move this country forward by building schools, because you can't build them tomorrow morning and it doesn't make them popular the next week. It is a political problem. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Democrats. It has nothing to do with the Republicans. It has everything to do with Washington, D.C. being absolutely incapable of running this country, running this economy in the position that we are now. The largest single economy in the world.
But Larkin, that's true.
Larkin, you just won the argument. Larkin, you just sealed the deal on the argument, Larkin. Sorry to interrupt, but you did.
Well,
you just sealed the deal, Larkin.
I'm not exactly sure what I
see. It's gone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's
gone.
I don't even know which way to turn. I can't even imagine having to go to Washington, D.C., was a problem that I wanted solved. I can't. Where would you go? I mean, where would you go? They pay no attention whatsoever to their voting people. They live their own lives. They think they're superior to everybody in the world. This is the most disgusting group of people that have run any nation in the history of the world. I mean, these people are awful. And it keeps on getting worse, and the plague keeps on getting worse, and we do nothing. except the, you know what I heard in Virginia? You know the argument I heard in Virginia? You're just going to love this one. When I said, I just don't think he's doing enough. He's not developing long-term answers. Any businessman knows that you can throw a bunch of money on your fire and you're going to get an instant flame. But if you want that flame burning tomorrow morning, then you've got to build the right kind of fire. And it starts with little twigs and you build all the way to burning trees. I mean, you have to have half a brain.
You have to have a plan. You have to have foresight. You know, we have in Bucks County, we have Bucks County Community College. It is one of the best places for trades and technologies. It's unbelievable. You graduate there from there with a certificate. You graduate there with a, you know, with a particular focal point of what you're going to do. Why don't we have this type of institution all over the USA? When people did go to lobby in Washington 25 years ago, when they started to pull the trades out of the schools, everybody was told, no, we're in a new world now. Everything is going to be technology based. And it's, you know, you're not going to need those line jobs and all. All wrong.
They're wrong. They're worried about how teachers are teaching history. It's just absurd.
Right.
It's absurd.
Yes, Rich.
So, good morning to all. And Larkin, you made an airtight case about why Congress and D.C. are gone. The only question is how many understand it or how many, I guess, versus how many are in denial. So I happen to read, Mark, I won't say every day, but, you know, enough throughout the year that I remember it. I look at the Commerce Department's import-exports data, which we've been, the trade deficit, as we call the trade deficit. And I've been, I look at it pretty regularly. It's been in effect for 19 years, so almost 20 years since we've been recording this data. Do you know, Mark, that we just hit the largest trade deficit since the data has been recorded going back to January 1992. So what does that mean, Michael? Mm-hmm. Here's what it means. All that magic money that appeared out of nowhere, Larkin, imagine that. I went to my desk, logged onto my bank account, and there was money in my bank account out of nowhere. Poof. That means that money came into bank accounts all across America, Mark. You know where the money went? Foreign-made shit. Ain't mm-hmm. that something, Mark?
That's what
now, look, now, let's be fair, because we want to be fair and objective on this show, right, to the best of our abilities. It would not be fair to throw all the slings and arrows at President Biden for that. That's not a fair statement to me, to throw them all. Here's what it more accurately represents, Mark. That when people got magic money paid for by magic American taxpayers, how many actually sat at their desk before buying whatever junk they probably didn't need and asked themselves, self, I wonder if this product is made in the U.S.? I bet you can probably count on all of our fingers how many people in America actually thought that. So here's what we did. We took magic money that's going to cost our kids 10 times more than what we received, Mark. And then we went out and bought a bunch of goods predominantly made in a country which, as Larkin alluded to, is sitting there salivating while they sharpen their knives, laughing at probably how easy it's been to get all of these first world nations, not the least of which is the United States, dependent on them like a drug addict on drugs. Ain't that something, Mark?
And that's a fact, Rich. You hit it right on the head.
You know what I have to say about it? If you went and asked every person who voted for Biden, for Washington, for those who put these people into power as the majority to pass these bills, there's only one statement that matters, Larkin. vote blue, no matter who, no matter what. Now you think, but Rich, do all of those people want to incur that debt? I don't know. Did all the people at the suicide cult really want to drink the cyanide waste flavorate? Yeah. Yeah. The answer is yes, Mark. The answer is yes. So you talk about that. This train ain't derailed. This train's like gone off the cliff. You ain't getting that train back, Larkin. Ain't coming back. Now, as a last point, because I'm very happy to report, I had, Mark, one of my most prolific Made in America weeks this week. Mm. So I made a purchase. I've got my New Balance Made in U.S. sneakers, second pair. Got it. Me and my wife got a car this weekend. It is not a car from an American-made car company. However, it does have 12% of its engine parts made here in the U.S. And when I asked it, which isn't much, right, Mark? It's not much, but it's better than zero. And I asked the salesman, how long has he been doing this job? 9 months. I asked him, how many people have ever asked what percentage of the engine parts are made in the U.S.? He said, never. You're the first. You're the first.
Yep.
Oh, and that car, and let's just say that car isn't a Ferrari, which doesn't sell that much. It starts with a T, ends with an A, and it's got a OYOT in the middle of it. So let's just say a lot of people drive that car, that brand, I should say. So we got 12% there. And then last but not least, I'm going to save the best for last, actually. My last Made in America purchase this week, I can happily say, is 100% Made in America because it's a hat from your store, Mark.
Very good.
So that was my week in Made in America. Now, I just mentioned three there, so, you know, I got to get something this week. And I have to also mention, because I failed to mention this last week, our audio engineer, when he was out picking up a product he needed for home repair, checked labels and found one made in the U.S. So as our, so we have to thank Henry, our auto engineer, for doing that. So as our international trade deficit rose to a record $74 billion, that's the number, $74 billion, it's never been higher, all we can sit back and gladly ask is, what's for dinner, Mark?
Yeah, and why did, was it, you know, Rich, if you are able to see it, that you mean to tell me there is not anyone in Washington or person who is preparing to run for president or Senate that can't see those same numbers and use that in their campaign?
It's not that they don't see it, Michael. No. One side, the blue side is doing what they always do. And I wish our side did this. All they want to do is conquer. All that matters to the blue side is democracy. Democracy is terrorism. Democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting for what's for dinner. Okay, that's what they're after. The other side is running around talking about Liz Cheney as if 6 months ago anyone even knew who she was, Mark. No one even knew who the woman was. She could have poured a hot coffee on your scrotum. You wouldn't have known who she was. So while we run around talking about that bullshit, and then the Democrats sit back and say, look at all these idiots over here on the right, on the red team, focused on dilly-dallying and all this nonsense, we'll just moving forward toward democracy, which has never worked ever in the history of man. That's the difference, Michael. So it isn't true that they don't know. They do know. It's not a priority. That's the problem. The problem isn't that they don't know, Mark. The problem is it's not a priority. It's not even... it's not even in our orbit or galaxy of a priority. It's not.
You know,
I defy anybody to find a politician in Washington, D.C., including our current president and certainly our vice president, who's eloquent beyond a belief, find any politician in Washington, D.C., within the state. It's going to be a state. I can't believe that. Within the state, within the district, who will talk to you about issues and resolutions 3, 4, and 5 years from now.
Right.
You know, in business, you write a business plan. In business, if you've been around a while and you're having your issues and your problems, you write a five-year plan. Here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to get out of this and get into that. Here's mm-hmm. how we're going to change things. You find me anybody in Washington, D.C., that is willing to intelligently carry on a conversation about where this country is now and how they're going to solve the problem 5 years from now. They've not even thought about how they're going to pay back the debt.
Nothing.
This guy we swore in as president. Now, listen, come on. If you just quit saying stupid stuff in Virginia, they said, what about Trump? I said, if you need to get Trump off of your chest, go ahead. You talk about Trump for about 3 minutes because that's about all that deserves. He's not your president. He's not the president. He's not the commander-in-chief. He's not making the rules. But somewhere down the line, how does he think that we're going to pay for this deficit?
Mm-hmm.
The rich people? Really?
You know, Larkin, it reminded me of a show on Oprah. Oprah had these shows where she would give away cars and vacations and stuff like that. As the speech went on, you know, we're going to get this and we're going to do this and we're going to give this and this. Reminded me of an Oprah show where she gave away cars and vacations and things like that. Well, I thought to myself, that was done with Oprah's private money, or she had some sponsors giving away the cars. You get a car, you get a car, you get a vacation. But this is not how it is with a president or any other elected official, any president, to give away our money without some real reason to give that money away. This here just allowing people to sit home and be there while the unemployment continues until September, and our Sure Points, our restaurants, everybody is committing suicide to stay alive now after the pandemic. And in many of the states, the masks and all are still required, but the restaurants are open, but the restaurants can't open to the public as normal because they don't have the people to serve. We now have 10 million people collecting the extra unemployment. Isn't that a nice amount? 10 million. It's not like 10 or 1,000. It's 10 million people. The unemployment compensation system began, if I'm not mistaken, in 1935. And it put into a law to help people at a time if their company had bad days, that after this was after the Depression, if their company had bad days, they would have some little money every week to, you know, keep them going, move the economy and allow them to buy food and things like that. This, what's going on now, it's impossible for me to believe it, because I'll give you an idea, Mark, and you will understand this better than anybody. They had the PPP program, the Paycheck Protection Program, that was administered by the Small Business Administration through the various banks. Now, we are now 60 weeks into the pandemic, right? 60 weeks, Mark. You know this because you're an employer. They gave 16 weeks of help, 16 out of the 60 help to the small businesses that kept their people employed. Now, what the small businesses are saying, Larkin, is I should have put my people on unemployment. I would have been able to save that money. They thought that they would have been given some additional help, not 16 weeks. Mark, did you apply for PPP?
Yes, I did, Mike.
Did you get both versions?
Yeah, well, we got the first, and you're right, though, that was 10 weeks of payroll for me.
Okay.
Well, you know, so, you know, there's a problem with it, like you said, because I kept as many employees as I could on. I was essential also, but I did lay off 33, and then you keep your employees, you got to find work for them because it's based off of payroll also. So, yeah, there's definitely flaws.
And a lot of the people that are running businesses say it. you know, now maybe it's been more beneficial to me to keep my people laid off and on the government payroll. Whereas my point is, if the government had helped the small businesses throughout the 60 weeks in some way, it would have been better, because when they need those people back on the job, they would still be on the payroll of the company they were working for and not in the unemployment system. Is it, you understand that, Larkin?
Yes.
What they, the government does not know how to do anything. They wanted to gorge the people with 10 weeks of help, and then the other 50 weeks you're on your own. Well, people took money out of their life savings. They cashed in. They took loans. They did everything to be screwed royally by Uncle Sam. And did anybody say anything about that during the presidential speech, after the presidential speech? Nothing. They're just hoping it'll go away. So, Mark, you as a major employer, whatever you gave out, you are, how many? You are 40-some weeks in the red. And Uncle Sam has no plans to help you further. Is that correct?
That's right. I'd like to give my view, Mike, on this on that shortage, you know, if I could.
Yes.
You know, so I sent you guys that USA article on the semiconductor chip shortage. So if you put all our work together, I love Larkin, your talk, Rich, your opinions. You know, basically that free money, you're saying Larkin went to drugs or foreign products, Rich, or maybe the liquor store. You know, wherever they spent the free money. But our big problem and what we've been working in, Mike, what's your concept, core value, for years like mine, has been this Made in America shortage. You know, we took our eye off our country. We want 50-50 fair trade. We know that. We want every country to support the country they live in. But what we're finding and what I'm doing, all these studies that people I got on my other show, all this information coming in, Made in America, you know, we're seeing shortages on our side of because of worker shortage. If you talk to Carter Beard at Annan Flag or Valley Forge Flag or my other products, we're still getting our products at Made in America, 500 vendors. We're still getting products. They might be 2-3 weeks late, but they're still coming in. They have a worker shortage, which is huge. But I'm seeing lately with this semiconductor, the chip, that affects the 5G phone, that affects electronic devices, the auto industry, the heavy equipment, the Caterpillar industries with dozers and excavators. You know, what we're seeing now is our dependency on China, and it's exposed so clear. Now, if they don't do nothing with it, we know everybody's in love with their portfolios and money's their God. We're God's my God. We have such a problem now with this chip shortage, Larkin, like you bring up all them F-150s, 250 Super Duties, the 350. They're all sitting there. The wagon can't be finished because they don't have a chip. They don't have other components. I can't get trailers. I manufacture trailers on a small scale, but I can't get my cam trailers and other trailers for a year and a half. So the sales I've lost, I had 81 trailers ordered from CAM. They sent me 7. So I lose $300,000-$400,000 in sales. And Larkin, you can imagine, I've lost the military work. You've got the oil mining work on hold. And then you lose your sales because there's a shortage like this. And then the feds are pumping money into the banks. You know, the fallout from this is coming huge. But if we don't recognize the dependency on China and foreign countries because of this component shortage, and they're going to control us from it. You're seeing Caterpillar dozers and trucks and trailers out 69 weeks. So if you started, if I found a new manufacturer for trailers, the best they can do, they'll sign me up, they'll get me a trailer in 69 weeks, a year and a half. This is incredible. So this story, Mike, we've got to pound it as a team. This is going to come out. They can't hide it on the news and talk about ice cream and, you know, Biden's dog. This is going to come out huge.
You know,
because you can't have products to sell, and if you don't have products to sell, Larkin, you know, the cash flow, the oxygen of the company goes down, and what happens? You start laying off and closing down.
You know, Mark, it's really frightening. Someone told me about 3 weeks ago about this Foxconn, or whatever the company name is, from China. They have just not been sending the computer parts, period. They've been sending them all over the world, but not to America. Because I think they want to bring America to its knees.
But there's other components. Like, if I'm talking trailer shortage, so I manufacture mine and I try to get USA tires from Goodyear, still makes them, or whoever. Cooper used to, Rich, you did a little study, but Cam can't get tires because they're from overseas. They can't get axle parts. They can't get their jacks. What did I start doing? Building my own axles because I can't get axle parts. So there's many other parts other than the semiconductor, but that computer chip is in your dozer computer, is in your car computer, is in your 5G phone, and other electronic devices. But there's other components, Mike, is what I'm saying. You can't finish the wagon without all these other components, and this bubble's floating there. We can't get products as businesses. And if you can't sell, you don't have no sales, it's a huge problem, and this bubble's big. You're a year and a half out waiting for products because of the component shortage?
Well, it's going to kill a lot of our industries. I mean, just the article, did you receive the article I send you about the America's industries begging for help? I emailed that to you last night. And I get calls all the time from people saying, you know, if you have anybody that has some skills who maybe worked in another company, is working in another company, I'll try to bring them to my place. Believe me, I'll take care of them because I have a very vibrant business. Our business never shut down. But because you have a lot of other issues, parents had to stay home to be with their children. They weren't able to go to work. And things like that, it caused a nightmare in this country, and yet nobody really seems to be talking about it.
But, you know, Mike, with the dependency on China and foreign goods, if we didn't learn from the pandemic, even our health and safety and medical devices, if we just go back to business as norm and rely on these countries and don't at least become 50% self-sufficient, get our supply chains back that Larkin talks about, get going now, you know, we're dumb as a country.
You know, it's true. And, you know, in the last week since the president's speech, that should have been brought up 1,000 times, the dependency on other countries. It was just mentioned very...
They're in a different world, Mike.
Very, very lightly. But I'm going to ask you a question. How do we get that out to the public, Mark? How would you best feel? I mean, we have radio broadcasts like this and your program, and I'm very grateful to the many broadcasters that pick up my weekly commentary. Everybody is trying to help. And I will tell you this, too. A lot of people are fearful, very fearful, to push too much American-made because a lot of their sponsors are not companies that are promoting and selling American-made products.
But, you know, if Ford, Chevy, and Dodge could get together to build the ventilator, that was proven by Trump and the team.
Right, I agree.
Why they've got to get together and get... Intel used to build these, and Rich may know more about that. In the 80s, they used to build more chips and semiconductors. It can be done here.
Absolutely.
They have to want to, but they have to recognize how... If we're not self-sufficient, we're in danger, you know.
Drexel, it's
really a serious problem.
Drexel University, they had many of the classes there that were inventing constantly things for computers and all. Why all of a sudden were those products all bought up, all those inventions and all bought up by foreign countries? There was nobody here to say a word. You know, Bill Clinton made a statement when he was in office, I guess it was around 98 or something. He said the days of big government are over. Do you remember that, Rich or Larkin?
Yes.
The days of big government are over. Look where we are today. Big government is trying to overpower us.
And that's not Bill Clinton's problem.
That's right. But he's the one who mentioned it. And people have been telling me about it. Michael, go back and research this. His idea was we're going to be in good shape because Silicon Valley was growing. Everything was going wonderful with the computerization of things and all. Never did anyone think that this would happen in the United States, where foreign countries could come over very quietly, buy things up, and just do whatever they want. Some of those companies are still located here in the United States. I tried to ask a gentleman to be a guest on the program, and he said, Michael, I would love to come on. I enjoy listening to what you all have to say. He said, but I get a lot of my parts, my components, to make what I make from foreign countries, and I don't want any of my distributors to punish me by doing just what's happening now with the Fords not being able to get the parts.
And I've got a question with Larkin. Larkin, you know business, worked with all your SCORE members. So I'm talking about this shortage. So you can't get products, you can't have sales. It cuts you right off. If I did my fair this year, I have no trailers. I show trailers and sell them. Well, I have none to show, and I can't get them for a year. So customers don't want that. I get a letter from CAM Manufacturing, our trailer manufacturer in Carlisle, PA. They give me a 23% increase yesterday by letter, which they've had other increases. But also they say don't use this if you order. You can't sell the trailer until you get it because we don't know what it'll be when you get it, so we'll apply the price increases then. So you could imagine that. You know, then we can't get trucks. People can't get the Super Duty trucks, which we put the plows on, bought snow plows on in the fall. So if you order a truck now, you don't get it till February, March next year. So you could imagine this impact on small business.
Oh, man.
And here's the problem, Mark. There's nobody in the country that should understand that better than the president and every member of Congress.
Exactly, but they're not bringing it up.
They're arguing about Lynn Cheney. Seriously, Lynn Cheney? Now, you just very quietly, why do I get rid of Lynn Cheney? And I don't know Lynn Cheney from a stack of hay. But why would I get rid of her? Because when the opposition comes out and says she's doing a wonderful job.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
You know, Larkin.
It's time to tell her to go sit down.
Mark, Larkin and Rich, I want to ask you, would you be willing to go along with the infrastructure bill if it was guaranteed that 100% every dollar was spent here in America on American-made and American workers? Larkin.
Well, yes. On the whole, yes. But it's like anything else that Biden does. He hears the fake cheering in the background of people mm-hmm. who see a $1.9 trillion. We didn't have an economy that was
our whole country economy is $4 trillion a year.
Yeah, but and, Mike, and the President Biden signed an executive order strengthening Buy American provisions. That happened already. That's supposed to ensure future of America.
Well, that was he did that on
this
his
should be,
in
this
his
should
first
be carried out no matter what. I mean right. That's what it was just lip service if it's not carried out.
But Mark, I want to tell you, I did mention this to one of my very close elected friends, and they said, Michael, do you realize how much we depend right now on foreign steel and all?
Absolutely.
You know, if we wanted to make all those expressway entrances and the new exits from the bridge and all, we don't have the mills. How many mills did you tell me are in America now?
Yeah, there were only 11 or 12 at the time.
How can it be 11 or 12 steel mills in the United States of America?
That's what I mean. If this pandemic, if our time now doesn't expose this and wake people up to really get on this, like Larkin said, they're not talking about it because he's worried about the next vote. He don't want to disturb the waters. Trump didn't give a shit. He just he told the truth.
But,
and he woke people up. He caused trouble every day because he was working.
Mark, hold on. I got to interrupt, Mark. Excuse me. I just, this is my fault. I was admonished by the station to not use foul language. So the fact that we all are saying BS and S on here is my fault. I take responsibility for it. If we get a fine, Michael, just send it to Congress, add it to the tab. What difference does it make anyway? Just go ahead and give them the bill. So, Mark, my apologies. I started a little fire here. I'm trying to put it out before it spreads more because S and BS inevitably lead to other words that start with F and some other words. So we're going to leave it at that. Sorry.
Good idea.
But if there was a way to keep those dollars in this country 100% American workers, 100% steel, 100% cement, everything in the USA. Yeah, it should be done. I mean, the first day President Biden came into office, as did Trump and others before him, is strengthen the purchasing of buy American-made products. Buy everything possible from the government. Well, It's like I mentioned, you know, probably 90 days ago. That's very difficult when you have to, you're in a pandemic and you have to buy computer screens and give it to the students in the classrooms. They're not made in America. They're not made in America. So, it, you know, buying things for the schools that aren't made here, hey, it's a nice gesture, but it means zero. It means zero because you have to face the reality. Now, if he said, I am going to allot additional funds to restore manufacturing of the computer screens in America, as additional jobs for the people. But the thing that most of the people who listen, the people I speak to in my travels, are disappointed about one thing, and we'll have to address that next week, and that is, what is going to happen on September the 6th when all the unemployment benefits are over?
Well, I can tell you this. We all can sit here and guess, and we might have a pretty basic idea because of our knowledge, general knowledge of free enterprise in the business world. But there's nobody in Washington, D.C. that has even thought about that.
That's right.
That has even addressed it, has even brought it up on one of the House or the Senate floor. No way are they thinking about it.
The only thing they're thinking is on the 7th of September, we need another 3-month extension so that we can consider during the next 90 days what we might do. How can we disappoint people between October, November, and Christmas time? We have to extend those benefits again. Now, this is becoming ridiculous, and I ask all of you to make sure that you vote in your local primaries. When you're looking for the school board people, make sure you go out and look for those that are interested in trades and technologies. Also, remember, this first weekend of May is National Small Business Weekend. Kindly go out and support all of your local small businesses. They really need you. And also, if you're on the internet and you want to have some great product shipped to you, remember, Mark Andel is the founder of the Made in America store. His link is right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Click on it. Check out what he has. Make sure you buy something from Mark because he's, of course, part of the National Small Business Network. Thank you, Larkin Conley, Rich Loges, Mark Andel, Henry Chaplinsky, and to all of you that are supporting our campaign. We need you. We love you. Happy Mother's Day. May God bless all of you, and may God bless America.
I just want to say, Rich, my daughter was honored closing the sale with you for your hat.
And it was my honor. And Mark's daughter said to a veteran, thank you for your service. That's all I need to know about how Mark and how you raised your daughter. So thank you, Mark.
I thought that was great. Thank you. Have a great week, guys.